days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after he comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 to 9, and it can be found on page 727 in your church Bibles. And it's the servant of the Lord. "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out, or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretched them out, who spread out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you to righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for all people, and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you." This is the word of the Lord.
Right. The third reading is again from Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17, can be again found on page 967 in the church Bibles. The baptism of Jesus. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' This is the word of the Lord." Thanks be to God.
Thank you, readers. And just a prayer for Andrew, Andy, as he comes
Andrew,
up.
Naughty, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Lord, we just thank you for Andy. We thank you for his heart for you. We thank you for his study, his communication skills, Lord. We just thank you for Andy, and Lord, we just thank you for the words that you've laid on his heart to bring to us this morning. Amen.
Cheers, Matt. Thank you. You've got the short straw this morning. Humble servant prophet meets humble servant king. Reminders. Here in Matthew's gospel of good news, the scene is set for the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It's time for Jesus the carpenter to bring in God's salvation plan, first mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. In all four Gospels, the ministry of Jesus is preceded by that of John the Baptist. And when he's questioned as, who is he? His reply is a humble, I'm just a voice. But he's more than that. As John came to remind people that they are far from God. They are in a spiritual exile, an FFG exile. Far from God, exile. His message of repentance is the same message as Jesus. Repent for me is like, don't walk away from God. Don't walk without God. Stop. Turn round. Walk back to God. Walk with God through your faith in Jesus. And stay on that narrow path. Matthew's account tells us about John, who's wearing a camel hair suit with a leather belt around his waist. And he is a reminder of an earlier prophet from the Old Testament named Elijah. Elijah dressed the same as John. Some 700 years before this moment in human history. And Elijah's core message was, repent. Turn away from worshipping idols and turn back to the one true God. And John's repent call is still as relevant today as it was back then, because many people today are FFG, far from God. And where John is stationed in the wilderness or desert region is another reminder. When God's people came out of Egypt with Moses and they crossed the Red Sea, where did they go? Well, they went into the wilderness or the desert region. And a wilderness is uncultivated, uninhabited, inhospitable, with no Sainsbury's or Tesco anywhere. And the generation that entered here had to rely solely on God providing for them. And God did provide for them, just as he is providing John the Baptist and Jesus for his people. But this generation and their reliance on God tested them. They moaned, they groaned, they found fault and complained and wanted to be back in slavery in Egypt. And they entered into far from God exile. And they spent almost 40 years in this exile. Why baptism in the River Jordan? Well, I see another reminder with the Jordan River. The generation that followed those who came out of Egypt became the ones who crossed the River Jordan, led by God into God's promised land where they are to live. Which is another reminder to God's people what God has done in the past for them. Now we reach another point where God is providing for his people. God's people back then have been awakened by the call of humble John as they realize somehow that they are sinners who need to repent first, then they need a spiritual bath. A wash, a baptism, where the old self goes into the water and the new self rises. And then who should join the queue but sinless Jesus? He's standing in the line waiting for John to baptize him. Whoa, no. John is surprised. He's taken aback and he is shocked. Just as we should be shocked. Although God had sent John to prepare people for his promised king, John is not ready for what that humble king is like. Now, why should Jesus be baptized? Surely he is the one who washes you and I and others and cleans us of our sins. But he's standing there. But he's sin free. And yet he joins in with mankind with their need to be made clean. And John says in verse 13, I need to be baptized by you. Because John knows who Jesus is. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 36, he's already pointed to Jesus and told two of his disciples, look, the Lamb of God. And here is another reminder from the Old Testament of the Passover Lamb, where the blood of the Passover Lamb on their door frames frees God's people from God's judgment before they leave Egypt. And these two of John's disciples leave John and they follow Jesus, which is what John wants them to do. John looks at Jesus and reluctantly obeys him. And the baptism of Jesus is highly significant. In baptism, Jesus sinks to our level as a human. Our level, which is the need to repent. Jesus must sink down to our level if he's to raise us up to where he wants us to be. He came to save us through dealing with our sin on the cross, suffering our judgment and yet taken away. And I've lost my place again. Yet taken our judgment away. And then he's raised to new glorious life, just as we will be one day. Then in verse 15 in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus explains why he must be baptized when he says to John, it is right for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. I've always seen righteousness as being right with God. I've got to simplify it for my little brain. I can only achieve being right with God through my faith in Jesus. As Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then John the Baptist said in verse 11 in Matthew chapter 3, he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I'm not going into the fire bit. I'm staying with the Holy Spirit part. The baptism of the Holy Spirit can only be given by Jesus. It's a baptism not of the body, but of the heart. It's a baptism that the repentant thief on a cross next to Jesus received when he cried out to him to be remembered when Jesus brings in his kingdom. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 23 verse 43, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. His heartfelt cry receives an immediate heart-given gift. Now, this baptism that only Jesus can give is a cleansing, of our hearts and our minds through the power of the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit unites us with Jesus. But we must allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to make us aware of where we need to make changes in ourselves in order to become more like Jesus. The baptism of water is a great privilege for us, but we must make sure that we humbly allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us if we are to be true witnesses and humble servants of our Lord and Saviour. I must go briefly into Isaiah 42 verse 1, our second reading this morning, where God's promise in verse 1 is now coming true through the baptism of Jesus. And I wonder what connections you will make from Isaiah 42 to verses 16 and 17 in Matthew chapter 3. In Isaiah, God says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to all nations." Now to verses 16 and 17 in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that time, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And then verse 17, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We are given a vivid picture here of how important the baptism of Jesus is. And what is exciting is that heaven is opened. And as far as I'm aware, it hasn't closed yet. It's open 24/7, 365 days and nights. Heaven is open. But it's close to sin because sin cannot come in. And that's why we need Jesus. That's why we must never forget the cross where Jesus took our sins away. And the picture of the Holy Spirit descending onto Jesus is so important. For it not only marked him out as God's chosen servant, but it also equipped him for his task. And then verse 17 completes the picture of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. God the Son as a human, God's humble servant, King, is baptized into his ministry. God the Holy Spirit comes down onto Jesus, and God the Father speaks from heaven. We have all three persons in one place, together in one person. All three in one man. A reminder for us of Genesis 1 verse 26, "Let us make man in our image." And here in Matthew, it seems to me that the Trinity are now saying, "Let us save mankind." Then in verse 17, God says, "This is my son." A statement of fact as to who Jesus is. Then God says, "Whom I love." God loves his son and what he is going to do for all mankind, which shows us that God loves us. Then God says, "With him I am well pleased." A I've always seen this last sentence as God confirming for us that he knows that Jesus will fulfill God's salvation plan fully, despite going through temptation, despite rejection, despite suffering, despite taking upon himself our sins, and then completely taking away the sins of the world, and then rising to new life, giving us access into an open heaven, where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be well pleased to receive us. Come on. I close with a prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, our humble servant King, we thank you that you fulfilled all righteousness for us, and that through faith in you, God is well pleased to welcome us into his eternal family. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.